First John chapter 1. Let's see if we can get this thing finished up. First John chapter 1. We've been dealing with this for a number of weeks. I can't remember how many it was. There's more than one. Amen. And we're going to get out of this chapter today with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to get to one of these great verses in the Bible. Let's read it together, verse number 9. Most of us know it by heart, but if you don't, this is an open book quiz. You can read it straight from the text. 1 John 1, 9. Together, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You think that's good enough to read again? One more time. Ready? Begin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, would you add thy blessing to the reading of your word? Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. If anyone in the building today doesn't know Jesus, help that one to realize just like he runs to his children, he'll run to him too. He'll run to her too. He's willing and able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. God, would you do a work in and through the service, a work that only you could get the glory for. Keep the devil from interfering. He's so busy. He's so restless. He's roaming about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But we're thankful, Lord, that on the cross you bruised his head. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would help us to treat him as he's already been deemed a loser. And may God, we let you win, for great is the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Bless the preaching now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. John the Beloved is writing to us about his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He began this letter, if you would, reminding us that the Jesus about whom he was writing is not a figment of his imagination, that Jesus was real. I don't know about you, I'm glad that Jesus is real. Amen. I'm glad that he's not just a character in a fairy tale. I'm glad that he's not just the hero in a Disney movie. I'm glad that he's not just the central figure in a religion. I'm glad that he's not just a good man that we aspire to imitate. I'm glad that he's not just an elected politician, that he's not just a king with a term whose term will end when he dies. I'm glad that he's a real person. I'm glad that he wasn't created, but he did the creating. I'm glad that he's eternal. I'm glad that he's immutable. I'm glad that he's holy. I'm glad that he's good. I'm glad that he's gracious. I'm glad that he's merciful. I'm glad that he's kind. I'm glad that he's real. Somebody say amen. John says, I handled him, I heard him, I held him, I know that he's real. And he said, I walked with him, but now that he's gone, just because he's gone physically doesn't mean that we can't walk with him spiritually. He said, I want you to enjoy him like I enjoy him. I want us to walk with the Lord every single day. We're so used to human and physical fellowship. We're so used to sitting down and eating and touching and feeling. And it's been one of the most difficult struggles during this pandemic not to be able to commune one with another in a physical sense like we always do. But John reminds us in 1 John chapter 1 that although we are socially distancing from one another and we're trying not to touch and we're trying not to breathe on one another and we're trying not to spread germs and we can't get together like we could, next week we would love to serve dinner on the ground. I don't know about you. I'd love to be eating some fried chicken and macaroni and cheese and green beans and ham and yams with the people of God. Somebody say amen. And we just can't do that. We'll get back to that sooner or later. But John says there's one thing that a pandemic can't put on hold. Somebody help me preach. There's one thing that social distancing cannot stop. There's one thing that circumstances in our life cannot bind. And that is our fellowship with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, there's no better time that a believer can have than the time spent with his Father. Listen to me now. The height of fellowship is based on the significance of relationship. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Same John, verse chapter number 3 of this epistle. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. You just heard him singing about it, that we should be called, not the servants, not just the saints, not just the believers, not just the members, not just, but listen, that we should be called the sons of God. The next time the devil starts sowing the seed of depression and despondency and despair and distress, I don't know about you, the devil sent me out an invitation early this week to a pity party. He told me to bring me, myself, and I RSVP and said, you invited the wrong person. I'm not coming to a pity party. There's always something to complain about, but when I corral the reins of my brains and I begin to remind myself that I'm not just a man, I'm not just a daddy, I'm not just a father, I'm not just an American citizen, I'm not just a son of Lou Baldwin, but I am a child of Almighty God. These real conclusions brought him to a reasonable compulsion, continued with a relayed communication. He spoke about righteous communion, walk in the light as he is in the light. Were you in darkness this week or in the light? The world's in a dark place. Don't have no business to do with where you walk. You can walk in the light if everybody walks in the dark. This is a spiritual walk. You say it has nothing to do with physical? No. It has everything to do with physical, but the physical is a result of the spiritual, not vice versa. Last week we looked at several ridiculous contentions. If I say I'm walking with him, but I'm walking in darkness, I lie. If I say that I have no sin, I deceive myself. If I say that I have not sinned, I make him a liar. Do you want to contend that foolishness? Do you want to, my friend, be a liar? Do you want to fool yourself? And do you want to call God a liar? Who in his right man would want to call, right mind would want to call God a liar? These are contentions that people try to make. I love Jesus. I love God. I'm in love with Jesus. I'm serving God. I'm a great Christian. And they're walking in darkness. John says, stop all that lying. You don't love Jesus if you don't walk in the light. You're not walking with you. You cannot, listen, you can't have a foot in darkness and a foot in the light. You can't have a foot in the world and a foot in the church. Come on now. How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Somebody's got to decide. If the whole world walks in darkness, if every family walks in darkness, if every married couple walks in darkness, if all the teenagers in America walk in darkness, I want to walk in the light. Why? Because God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So, John, you're telling us if we say that we walk in light all the time, we're lying. It's almost like he takes these three verses that we looked at last week and eliminates the possibility of any person, saved or lost, denying sin altogether. So if all of us have an issue with sin, and here's what John wants us to understand. I want you to get this in the next 10 minutes or so. John wants us to understand that there is nothing sweeter in life than fellowship with God and with Jesus Christ. If you agree with that, say amen. You know, the world is so loud in their agreement with nonsense. Let's be loud in our agreement with truth. There's nothing sweeter than fellowshipping with God and with Jesus Christ. But there's nothing more sour than losing it. And here's what John is saying. Sin is what causes us to break that fellowship. The moment I sin, now listen to me. When I sin, I can't lose my salvation. Somebody say amen. Somebody's listening in somewhere, and you may be sinning in the building, and somebody may have told you, they lied to you, but somebody may have told you, you may have believed a lie. Somebody may have told you, they may be a theologian. Somebody may have told you, they may be stoked in religion. Somebody may have told you that you can lose your salvation. The problem is, that doesn't line up with the Bible. John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Peter says, we are kept by power unto the day of redemption. Can I ask you a logical question? If you did nothing to get your salvation, how can you do something to lose your salvation? It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You couldn't do anything to get saved. All of our righteousnesses were as filthy rags. You say, if I didn't do anything to get saved, how did I get saved? Jesus did everything and you just agreed with it. You trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ to save you. Once saved, always saved. Once a child of God, always a child of God. You will never lose your relationship with God because you inherited that relationship by birth. There is nothing I could ever do to unbecome Lou Baldwin's son. Now, I might do something to make him mad. I might do something to embarrass him. I might do something that makes him not want to talk to me. But at the end of the day, I am still his son. I'm glad that when I got born again, amen. The old folks used to say born again. Listen to me. I'm glad when I got born again, amen, I became a child of God, not a part-time friend, not a so-so fair-weather acquaintance, not a seasonal associate. I became the child of God by birth, and nothing, Romans chapter 8, shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So I cannot break the relationship, but I can break the fellowship. The joint participation in something both have in common. Sin breaks that fellowship. So here's what John is going to give us. The real conclusions, the reasonable compulsion, the relayed communication, the righteous communion, the ridiculous contention. Don't you dare say you don't have any sin, John says. So if I have it and I break it, what are you giving me, John? I'm going to give you the climax to this chapter. Restoring confession. How do I get back? This is what he's saying about. How do I get back on the same page with God? Now, here's what John says, verse number 9, and then we're going to go home. Restoring confession, number one, involves a stated condition. There's a condition that John gives us, and we know it's a condition because the verse begins with the word if. Right? There are some things that God does based on what we do. So he says, if you want restoring confession, listen to me. Here's a stated condition. Number one, confession. Now I want you to think about this word in the Greek because this is intriguing when we think about the word confession. Listen what it is, homologio. Here it is. It literally means to say the same thing. It means to assent. It means to agree. Now listen to what Proverbs chapter 28 said. He that covereth his sin, huh? That's to put it behind your back. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You're never gonna prosper hiding your sin. You may get away with people, but you're not gonna get away with God. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Now, confession is the antithesis of covering. Now, watch this now. If covering is bad and confession is good, if covering is hiding, now watch this now. Covering is concealing, but watch this now. If I confess, I've got to bring it out in the open with God. In other words, I got to take it from behind my back, open my hand, and by the way, not let God in on it. He already knows. Confession is never telling God something he didn't know. It's a agreeing with God. Watch this now. Homologio. It literally means to say the same thing. When I confess, I don't just say, oops, my bad, I got caught. I say, I agree with you over my sin. I hate it like you hate it. I'm sorry like you're sorry I did it. I must have an honest recognition our sins. I must have heartfelt repentance. I must turn from my sin. Doesn't mean I'll be perfect, but I change my mind towards sin, and I must have a humble request. I must ask God to forgive me of my sins. I must agree with God. I want you to write down in your notes, I'm running out of steam here, but write down in your notes here. You notice he said in verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, singular, and in verse number 9, if we confess our sins. There's a reason why those are two words that are different. Sin has the idea of who we are, a sinner. Sins, verse 9, has the idea of what we do because we're sinners. In verse number 8, he's simply saying, if you say that you have no sin, that means you're a lost man. We're all sinners. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when you get saved, you're not confessing your sin nature after you're saved to get saved again. You're already saved. You're confessing your sins, your deeds, not to get saved again, but to maintain with the fellowship with the God God that keeps you saved. So he says, I have a stated condition. I have to confess. You can't get fellowship with God if you don't confess. And here's a little suggestion from your pastor. The best time to confess your sin is immediately after you commit it. Some folks have a problem cleaning their house because it got so dirty. Are you listening to me? It's harder to clean up it's harder to clean up in a day when you've messed up for 7 days. Is anybody listening to any parents in the building today? No wonder some of these kids can't clean up on Saturday because they got Monday's clothes and Tuesday's clothes and Wednesday's clothes and Thursday's clothes and Friday's clothes and now Saturday's clothes all on the floor and mama says, clean it up today. And I can't clean it up today. It takes too long. Well, if you hung up your outfit on Monday and you hung it up on Tuesday and you hung it up on Wednesday and you hung it up on Thursday and you hung it up on Friday, only thing you got to clean up on Saturday is what you wore on Saturday. And the reason why some people can't seem to get right with God is because they've piled up so much sin, they don't know where to begin. The moment you break fellowship, if you want it that bad, get it back right away. The stated condition, the sure conviction. I'm landing this thing. I'm landing the sure conviction. If we confess, it starts out with us, but now it continues on with God. He is. Somebody thank God that he is. I said that he is. I'm thankful for what he was. I'm thankful down the road for what he will be. But when I sin, I don't need the was and the will be. I need the is. Amen. The sure conviction is that he is faithful, his constant reliability, and that he is just, his complete righteousness. Aren't you glad that God is constantly reliable? Aren't you glad he's always there? How many of you know that people will fail you? How many of you know that you will fail yourself? How many of you know that situations that you thought would never decline sometimes go decline? How many of you know that when you never thought you'd ever get sick, sometimes that day of sickness will come? But aren't you glad that he is faithful? Somebody help me today. He is faithful, the constant reliability, but he is just. Please note that the Bible didn't say he's fair. Fair is to be equitable in your treatment of every person the same way. Somebody say, well, the Bible says God is fair. No, we're not talking about God is fair. And by the way, before you go complaining that God's not fair, let me just give you a little golden nugget that might tickle your fancy a little bit. You better be glad God isn't fair, because if God was fair, we'd all be burning in a devil's hell this morning. If God was fair, we'd all be judged a whole lot worse than we are. If God was fair, I'd be dead and not here any longer. If God was fair, I'd have never gotten saved. If God was fair, I wouldn't be married today. If God was fair, I wouldn't have precious children today. If God was fair, I wouldn't be standing up here pastoring Crossroads Baptist Church. If God was fair, God wouldn't have brought me off that bed from COVID-19. But I'm glad that God is not fair. God is just. Fair means we treat everybody the same. Just means he is right. He maintains his standard of righteousness based on his law. Now, please listen. And I'm closing. The stated condition, if we confess, the sure conviction, he is faithful and just. But the splendid conclusion, faithful and just to do what? Number one, to forgive us our sins. Now watch this now. How is God right to forgive us our sins? It's not fair to forgive us our sins, because sin separates us from God and the wages of sin is death. But it is righteous to forgive us our sins, and God has the means by which to forgive us our sins, because he forgives us based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I am forgiven. Here's the splendid conclusion. Merciful cleansing. He is faithful and just to forgive me. I'm sorry, merciful clearing. That means to clear me, to wipe it out. Aren't you glad that when you sin, but you confess it, that he wipes it out? I think I'll take a drink of water. Aren't you glad it's gone? I said it's gone. The clearing. In other words, you will not be judged for your sin. Come on now. It was judged in the person of Christ. He's faithful and just to forgive us. That is merciful clearing, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Watch this now. That is miraculous cleansing. Not only does he wipe it away. Watch this now. Not only does he eliminate me of guilt. Not only does he not bind me based on my deed, but the Bible says the miraculous cleansing, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's one thing for God to say, okay, you did it, but I choose not to punish you for it. It's another thing for him to say, not only will I not punish you for it, I'm going to wipe it away like you never did it. That's what justification is. It is a declaration of righteousness as if we never sinned and as if we were never sinner. What are you saying? That's why I am not going to let somebody that God created with his own sin get me caught up in guilt about my sin when the one who never sinned has cleansed me and cleared me of my sin. Some of you can't be good Christians because you letting people bring up your past and what you used to do and where you used to go and how you used to be and the person you used to be. And some of you can't get over yourself. I'll never serve God. I've done too many bad things. I messed up too many times. Could I ask you a question? If he ain't looking at it, he ain't thinking about it, he chooses not to remember it. What's wrong with you? He never sinned and he got over it. You sin all the time and you can't get over it. Listen to me now. He gives us merciful clearing. He gives us miraculous cleansing. And then by the grace of God, he gives us, if you would, a matchless continuing. What does that mean? Once I get that sin right, I get to go back to having a good time with Jesus and having a good time with God. You know how stanky it is when you and God aren't right. It's a whole lot worse. It's bad enough when you and your wife ain't right. You try to sit at the dinner table and you mad at each other. Pass the salt. And you pass the pepper. Making all these sounds and stuff like that. Acting like you ain't hungry. She cooking. I ain't. Yes, you are hungry. You know you're hungry, but you're too mad to admit that you want to eat that food that she cooked because you got that thing in your heart and your mind that you haven't gotten over. But oh, you say, honey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. She said, oh, I forgive you. Now, honey, fix me a plate of that food in Jesus' name. Why? Because no longer is there any friction anymore. You're missing out on good stuff from God when you're not right with God. God is missing out on good stuff from you when you're not right with God. Come on, somebody help me preach. We're rounding the corner right about now. If we confess our sins, if we confess our sin, stop blaming God because you're not right with God. Stop blaming your situation because you're not right with God. Stop blaming the devil because you're not right with God. You're not right with God because you haven't gotten right with God. If we confess, you do your part, he'll do his. He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I feel her eyes. It's time to shut her down. Let's do some confessing. Do some confessing. And by the way, stop sinning specifically and confessing generally. And how you do it, Mama J, you look over top the glasses when you get serious. Okay. Stop cussing people out and then get to the end of the day and talking about, Lord, if I did anything to offend you today, please forgive me. I'm sorry for cussing. And by the way, I'm giving an example because I don't cuss. And I'm getting a little sick and tired of hearing about cussing Christians. I'm almost finished, honey, but I had to hit that real quick. Ain't nothing spiritual about a cussing Christian. And then talking about, excuse my French, they ain't French. That's foolishness. And you don't get an excuse for sin because you warn everybody before you sin. I'm telling you right now, I'm about to go off. God knows I'm forgiven because I told you I was going to go off. You worse for telling us about it. That means you premeditated something. Let's confess it and get it right. And let God cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being God. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If you know it, would you raise your hand all over the building? Excuse me, thank you for raising your hand. Pastor, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but God has spoken to me about my fellowship being broken because of my sin, and I want to keep my accounts short with God. God spoke to me today. Would you raise your hand all over the building? My soul, all over the building. God bless you. Put your hand down. How many say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand all over the building? Anyone? Anybody? I'm sorry. Hand anywhere. Okay. Then why don't you take your time right where you are and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me, God. Forgive me for bad attitude. Forgive me for disrespectful word. Forgive me for an unkind. Forgive me for a wayward thought life. You're working so hard trying to look good for people. What about God? If we confess this, he's faithful and just and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Lord, I pray that you help us. May your word reign true, and may it bring fruit that will remain for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.